You are listening to Colchonero Chat, the premier English language podcast on Atletico Madrid and a part of Into the Calderon, the SB Nation home for all things Atletico. I'm Jeremy Barron. My guest on this edition of Colchonero Chat is Barca Blaugrana's manager, Renato Gonçalves. Renato Gonçalves is the guest on this edition of Colchonero Chat. Renato joins me for a lively and engaging discussion on the Copa del Rey semifinal second leg between Barcelona and Atletico. It finished 1-1, but that result was not enough to get Atletico through to the final. Barcelona go on instead. All things from that game and that tie are discussed, as well as La Liga this weekend, which sees a matchup of the finalists and the beaten semifinalists, as Barcelona travel to Alaves and Atletico return to the Vicente Calderon to host Celta Vigo. That's coming up and a lot more after this.
There might be some weird sounds during it, but it's just that there's a kid that my sister takes care of. She's her nanny, so you might hear a kid screaming from time to time.
Okay, I won't assume anything untoward is going on then.
No, it's just the kids screaming.
Okay. Yeah, I won't assume there's anything horrible there.
Nah, it's fine.
Awesome. All right. So, that game on Tuesday. Wow. Have you recovered from it?
Not yet. It was kind of crazy. So, but we won the game, so that helps the recovery process, I guess.
Yeah, being a fan of the team that's going through, I think that would help matters. It would speed up the process a little bit, yeah. I guess my first question would be, where do we start with this one? Should we start with whether Barcelona really did or did not deserve to win?
Well, sure, but, you know, I don't know what you think, but I'm not big on deserving or justice, because I think that's what makes the game so fun. When teams don't really deserve to win and go through, that's fun. When teams deserve to win and go through, that's fun too. So I'm not big on those things, but I do think that Barca deserved a little bit more. Not too much, but a little bit more. Because if you look at the first half of the first leg, that was the best football any team played in both legs. I think Athletic played pretty well in the second half of that game, and in the first half at Camp Nou, but I don't think it was quite as dominant as what Barca did at the Calderon, and I think Barca took the chances in that. Those 35-40 minutes, they were pretty good, and Atleti didn't. There are some reasons why that we're going to discuss, but I think overall, Barca took advantage of the moments where they were better, and Atleti didn't. And I think that was the story of the whole semifinal, I think.
Yeah, we'll talk generally first before we get into some specifics. In the end, and I've thought about it a lot, I think Barcelona probably deserved to go through. You buy the skin of their teeth, but simply put, they finished their chances and Atletico didn't. Atletico sustained more self-inflicted wounds than Barca did, and that's not to say Barca were perfect, because they weren't. But you look at how Atletico knocked them out of the Champions League two of the past three seasons, and you'll find that the second leg of both of those quarterfinal ties were just about mistake-free. They were both at home, but that being said, Atletico played pretty much error-free football in those two games. And like we talked about in the Q&A that went up on Barca Blaugrana's before the game, this is an opponent against whom you have got to limit mistakes, because they will be punished. They will have the ball, they will probe, and they will find openings. In the first leg, they did that. That said, Barcelona, I think, have a lot to be thankful for, as Atletico played, I think, very well over the majority of the 180 minutes, specifically in the second leg. And in that second leg, Barcelona benefited from some pretty sketchy refereeing decisions. But that said, more or less, this tie was resolved in the first 35 minutes in Madrid. That's, I think, the beginning and end of it, is this was essentially done after about half an hour at the Calderon.
Yeah, and I think that there's something that just speaks to how good Atleti is, that it took two world-class goals for Barca to end this tie. It's not like Atleti gifted two easy goals. It took Suarez that incredible run, and it took Messi one of the strikes that maybe only Messi can pull off in world football. So I just think that this was really close, and if you just go for pure stats and if you count the referee mistakes, and maybe Atletico scored more goals, but the ones that counted, Barca scored more than those. And like I said, the general feeling was that it was over after the first half an hour, which is crazy because there's still like 150 minutes to play, right, and a lot happened. But still, I think in the end, Barca were just too good not to go through based on what they played in the first half hour.
Yeah, it's weird because, like you said, the 150 minutes following the Suarez and Messi goals in Madrid, those were just full of action, breathless football. And a lot happened, but at the same time, not a whole lot happened. Atletico could only manage two goals, and they needed to score more. They had chances in the first leg, especially. The second leg had chances at Camp Nou as well. I think of a little lower quality than the ones that they generated in Madrid, but at the end, you got to finish your chances. And Barcelona didn't have a great amount of chances, but they finished them because that, you know, when you have that talent at your disposal, that's what you can do. We talked before the game about Neymar's absence. How did you think Barcelona responded to Neymar being out on Tuesday?
Not well, especially going forward because he's not really part of the defensive scheme, but he's a big outlet. When you don't, when the team's not playing well, the build-up is not going well, which clearly happened the first half at the Camp Nou. He's the outlet. You just kick the ball to him, and he's going to do something because he's that good. Messi's too well marked to do anything in those circumstances, and Suarez is just kind of the finisher. So you have Neymar, who's the creative spark when things are tough, and his 2017 has been incredible. Mm-hmm. And people keep fixating on the goals, that he's not scoring too much goals. I don't give a damn about the goals, to be honest. He's playing his heart out. He's playing amazing. Saturday, playing as Athletic Bilbao, Barca won 3-0, and he didn't need to score to be the best player on the pitch by a mile. He was incredible. And that was just probably his best performance in a month and a half, where he just destroyed people. So he was clearly missed, especially in the first half. But I think, like we talked about, he felt over after the first 35 minutes at the Calderon. He also felt over after Suarez scored, right? So when Suarez scored that first goal, the second half was kind of just about protecting the lead, and then the game just went nuts after the first red card. But I think Neymar's absence was probably felt a little more in the first half, but Barca found the goal anyway. But they could have found it earlier if he was on the pitch, I think.
Yeah, and the Suarez goal in the second leg wasn't even needed. He still would have gone through 2-2 because of the away goals.
Yeah.
It was a nicely taken goal. Really good passing in midfield, as ever, for you guys. Good build-up. Moya made the initial save on Messi. Unfortunately, couldn't handle it. And you get the feeling Jan Oblak, who's still injured, might have been able to handle that ball. He might have been able to snag it before it got away from him, and Suarez was able to tap in pretty easily.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I got to say this. Oblak, if it's not a penalty, he's going to save everything else.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I have to say it because that Champions League final, the last one, I mean, come on.
His penalty record hasn't been that bad this year, Renato. He's saved, I think, 4 of his last 8 in La Liga.
Yeah, but I mean,
but we're never going to forget. We're never going to forget the final.
He's going to save everything else. He's going to jump at least.
Yeah, we're never really going to forget the final, are we?
Oh boy, I was so rooting for you guys, but let's move on.
Yeah, I think pretty much every Barcelona fan was. But at any rate, you get the feeling that if Oblak were healthy, Oblak may have made that save. But Moya's been pretty good since Oblak went out in the middle of December. He's been solid. Atletico's defense has let him down a few times, but this time I think he kind of let himself down. And Atletico were and looking to enter halftime in a goalless draw. That would have been great.
Yeah.
And you saw that Atleti managed a few good chances in the first half of this game. The best
one. Do you think that if Carrasco scored that incredible chance he had on the counter that he somehow managed to kick right at Cillessen, it would have been a different game? I kind of think it would.
I was just getting to that. I was going to mention the Carrasco chance, and that was the best chance of the first half. If Carrasco scores that, if he just places it into the top corner, it's a goal, and I think it changes the course of not only this match, but of the tie. Because you're talking about an early goal, finishing off a great counter. Carrasco hasn't scored in more than 2 months, so he needed that goal more than anybody, and just fired it right at Cillessen. And Cillessen couldn't help but save that. So, yeah, that was the best chance by far. Godin had a pretty good header off a corner that Cillessen saved. And I saw a lot of fans tweeting at Into the Calderon saying, what are you, nuts? Atleti had great chances. We had four quality chances in the first half. And I kind of disagreed with that. I think the best chance by far was the Carrasco chance. Atletico were dangerous. Atletico had more of the ball than they usually do against Barcelona. But in the end, could not get that perfect chance that they needed. Could not generate that chance that would score a goal.
Yeah. I haven't looked at the expected goal map for this. I haven't had time, but I would imagine that the chances you were talking about, the expected goals for that chance wasn't too good.
Yeah.
Because, like, that Godin header, okay, it was a good chance, but come on, that was from the penalty spot. It was a pretty good distance for a Cillessen to save.
Yeah, it was right at
it. I think the Carrasco chance was the biggest one, because we talked about this in the Q&A that I did for Into the Calderon, that the thing that would make this, that would give Barca something to maybe surrender their advantage, was an early goal. Because, like, Atleti got an early goal 5-10 minutes, then they scored another one 25 minutes, then they have a 2-0 lead that will send them to the final, and then they just defended their lives for 75 minutes, which they're kind of good at. I don't know. it'd be impossible maybe for Barca without Neymar. So I think that Carrasco chance was the biggest one of the whole game. Not just the Gamero penalty, which we'll talk about, but just everything. And that chance could have changed everything, and we could be here talking about you guys in the final.
Yeah, I think that penalty, oh, I was so mad. That penalty might have been bigger, but yeah, this was a chance. Like, Carrasco in October and November would have scored this. Carrasco right now, and there have been rumors that he's had a fallout with the Simeone. And we both know who wins that, Simeone.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
There have been rumors, whispers that he's fallen out with Cholo, and he hasn't scored in, you know, more than 2 months now. And the team needs his goals. Atletico need him to rediscover him, find out where he lost his scoring boots, and go get another pair.
Last season's Carrasco wasn't too important. This season's Carrasco has to score, like, every game.
Yeah, every other game he has to be scoring. He has to be influencing events somehow, and he's not. He's been starting on the bench more lately. He's not completing 90 minutes. He's just not been very influential. And he's been fighting out with Nico Gaitán for space on the wings, because Carrasco loves to play on the left. Gaitán also likes to play on the left. So it's been tough. I hope it's not heading toward a situation where it results in Carrasco leaving. There was a report yesterday from the English press that there are several suitors lining up for Yannick's services. I don't know how true it is. It's from The Sun. That being said, it reflects the dip in his form. And again, if this were a few months ago, Carrasco would absolutely have finished this. It was a signature move for him, cutting inside, a ferocious shot just right at Cillessen. And it's tough, because that was their best or second best chance of the game, and it came so early. Atletico needed to score early in this game. They didn't. The longer it went on goalless, the more you got the feeling Barca would pick out spots, would probe, and would score, and they did.
Yeah, that's basically what they do when they're losing. They're not too dominant anymore, which I'm fine with. There are a lot of people who talk, oh, we're losing our identity and everything. But I think that's a little bit of a crazy talk to me, because Barca haven't had always that identity.
Right.
In the previous years, Pep Guardiola brought that back, and now it seems like it's been going on for 50 years. But anyway, this Barca version is just ruthless. If you don't score your chances, they're going to punish you. That's what happened.
And in the first leg, Atleti had too much of a mountain to climb, being down 2-0. Hold on a second, Renato. Just a sec. Be right back.
Yep.
Sorry about that, man. Atleti found themselves with just too tall of a mountain to scale after going behind 2-0 and needing to score twice, which has been at times a challenge in the first leg. And in the second leg, there was a bit of that, but we also had the officiating decisions, the refereeing decisions. We're going to talk about them. Fernando Torres should have had a penalty around half an hour with the game still goalless. I think it was a pretty stonewall penalty. What did you think of it? I think Sergio Roberto just rugby tackled him.
Yeah, I think there was a knee in the backside. Let's call it that too. I think some people even missed that. He just didn't. It wasn't just the arms that he wrapped around Fernando Torres. He also, I think, kneed him in the thigh. It was to me, it was pretty obvious, but it was. I think that one's. I'm not sure because, to be honest, I think penalties are always debatable. You always get people saying they are not, and you're not always sure they're going to go in, especially if it's Kevin Gamero taking them. So
yeah.
when it's even though it's a clear penalty. I don't think that's the biggest referee mistake, but I do agree with you that it was a penalty.
Yeah, there is no guarantee Atletico would have scored it because Atletico are very bad at penalties. They have been bad at penalties since last May, and so there's absolutely no guarantee that Atletico would have scored it. It really didn't matter who would have taken it, whether it's Griezmann, Gamero, Gabby, whoever. But just being offered the chance on what was a pretty stonewall call, I think that was definitely a missed opportunity and a poor refereeing decision. But the worst refereeing decisions, or most fun, depending on your point of view, those came in the second half, which was just completely bananas. Where do we start with this second half, Renato?
I think the biggest one to me is the... If you put it on a scale, there are two to me. First one is the Griezmann goal, which is completely onside, and everyone knows it. Barca players knew it. They weren't complaining. Everybody knew it was onside. And then it's the Sergio Roberto red card, because I think that was wrong, because his first red card should not have been a red card. Because, if I remember correctly, it was for a dissent, but he didn't say anything to the referee. He didn't say anything, and the referee just booked him. So... The foul that led to the second red card, that was pretty clear that should have been a yellow. It was a foul on Torres, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm.
He caught his knee, so that's pretty clear a yellow card, but it should have been just his first. And that was before the goal, I think.
Yeah, it was.
If he's not suspended, if he's not ejected in Griezmann scored and it's 1-0. I think it's a little bit manageable for Barca, but if he sent off, which he was, and Griezmann scores and it's the goal stands, which he should have, then I think there's the final for Atleti. Just go and take it, because you're 1-0 up, Barca on one man down, it's just going to be crazy pressure.
Yeah, and there is
those two decisions are the biggest.
Yeah, and there is another missed opportunity, right? So your problem is actually with the first Sergio Roberto yellow card, which, yeah, that makes sense from that standpoint, because the second yellow card was a clear foul. Absolutely a booking and a second yellow card in that case. And that was, I think, just before the hour, right around 57, 58 minutes where he was sent off?
Yes.
Yeah, so Atleti have just a golden opportunity here to level this thing up, potentially go ahead. But then 10 minutes later, Yannick Carrasco gets sent off for another yellow, taking down Arda Turan, a former Atletico hero, not anymore, but he took down Arda Turan, and it was clearly a foul, clearly a booking, and he's off, and we're 10v10 again, and these are just the opportunities I'm talking about. These are the things that Atletico needed to avoid doing. When you go up 11v10 against Barcelona, you have got to make that count. They were up 11v10 for 10 minutes, just about, and that's not okay. You can't expect to win doing that.
Yeah, they shot themselves in the foot during those 10 minutes. But to be fair to Barca too, they just sensed that it was pretty ugly at that point, so they just shut down shop, and they just, okay, we're not going to let you in here. And I don't think Atleti had a real chance until Carrasco was sent off. I don't remember anything remotely close to chance, other than the Griezmann goal,
offside goal, yeah, that was an absurd decision. It was so clearly onside. I don't know how you missed that.
No, I just don't know. To make things worse, like, it was the same linesman that saw the Suarez goal was onside, but Suarez was much closer to being offside than Griezmann.
It was
pretty clear that he was not offside. Like, Griezmann was outside of the box, and Piqué's foot was very, very, very inside the box. So there's no way that's an offside.
No, it was very clearly onside. Terrible decision. That was another instance where the game changed. So Carrasco gets sent off with 20 minutes to go. We're 10v10. Atletico are still pushing, up over 40% possession, which they never do against Barcelona. That's very, very rare, because normally Atletico-Barcelona games see Barcelona running up 65-70% possession. I think Barca finished around 60 for this game, maybe give or take a few percentage points. Atletico were really, really pushing. Koke was massive during all of this. I thought he was probably Atletico's best player on the day. Marshaled the midfield so well. Took the captain's band after Godin went off injured with a groin injury. He's going to miss this weekend's game against Celta. But Koke and Saul were both very, very good. And Gaetan came off at halftime. Carrasco was sent off. So you didn't have really any play through the wings. It all came through the middle. And I think Koke was just, he was massive. And he was in control of just about everything, dictated everything out there. It's almost like he's a really good central midfielder. It's just like that. It's almost like he's better at that position.
Oh boy, I think there's a couple of center midfielders around the world that I think they are so good that they are parts of quality, because I don't know if you agree, but to be a Barcelona midfielder, you have to be extra class, not just world class. You have to be something different, because it's too special of a position in the Barcelona system, if you want to call it that. And I think Koke is right up there. I think Koke, if you look at Verratti from PSG, if you look at, those two, basically. But Modric from Real Madrid, I think Koke is just, he's fantastic, man. He does everything so well. And I had him, I do it with myself. I don't publish this, but I do kind of a poll, a man of the match poll with myself. And I had four people. I had Cillessen, Piqué, Umtiti, and Koke. I think those were the four best players on the pitch.
Yeah, and Koke in particular was great in this game. I've never really bought into the he's the next Xavi comparisons. I think those have always been a little out there. Because Koke is not Xavi. I think he's a totally different player than Xavi. He emerged at 25 years old now as a much different player than Xavi, but he is able to do so much in midfield. Sometimes it's too much. Sometimes he has too many responsibilities and he can't properly influence a game. But on Tuesday, he did a great, great job of this, as he had little support on the wings, and he was creating chances. He was tracking back. He was winning the ball. He was really everywhere.
I think you mentioned this in the Q&A that we did, that if Barca fans paid attention, we would see how much Gabi is missed, and I think that was pretty clear, because Koke didn't have anyone, and he alongside him. I mean, he has Saul, but Saul is not the guy for a midfield two. He's the guy for a midfield three, right?
Right.
And I think Koke without Gabi, he had to do everything. He did it because he's that good. But if he had Gabi's help, it would be it'd be pretty easier for him. And I did look, I did try to watch how much you would miss Gabi. It was pretty clear that you didn't have someone in midfield to run things alongside Koke. That was pretty clear.
No, there was no one. And to be fair, Saul played a pretty good game, but that's Saul's game is not Gabby's game. What Gabi is able to do so well and what Atletico missed, his running, his ability to win the ball via tackling, by intercepting. Koke was asked to do that on top of his normal duties of creating chances, dictating tempo, which asking one player to have that to carry that burden on his shoulders, it's a lot to ask. And they really they didn't miss Gabi so much defense. I'm not sure they missed him as much defensively, especially in the second half, because Atletico kind of dominated play in the second half again. They missed him in the first half. I think he really he could have played a role in stopping the buildup that led to the Suarez goal. That's just kind of a situation, a scenario that is earmarked for a Gabi tackle, you know, for a Gabi clearance.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we got 20 minutes to go now. Yeah, we're about to the point where I'm going to start ranting about the Gamero penalty. this has been controversial lately for Atleti because Griezmann's missed 5 of his last 7 penalties. The one he took on Saturday against Leganes was a dismal penalty. I'm not sure if you saw it, but he often has opted for power over placement, which has led him to miss crucial penalties off the crossbar in Madrid derbies. This time he opted for placement over power, and this was just a really soft penalty down the middle. Leganes goalkeeper, Iago Errarín, he broke the wrong way and was still able to palm the ball away because it had nothing on it. It was not good. So Kevin Gamero, who has had a great penalty record since he moved to Spain, stepped up for this one, which who won it? Did Torres win this or did Gamero win it? I can't remember.
I can't remember either.
Yeah. Gamero won it. Yeah, Gamero won it. So he steps up.
Yeah, because Torres was off already.
Torres came off on the hour. That's right. Yep. So Gamero stepped up for this one, and he missed everything. It just ballooned over the crossbar. Like, oh my god. Like, how do you do that? I mean, maybe the situation, maybe there was too much pressure on him. I get it. It's the second leg of a Copa tie. You have a chance here to turn it around, another chance to turn it around in the final 10 minutes. But, oh my God, he had another chance that Atletico blew, that Kevin Gamero blew. What was he thinking on this penalty?
I think he just wanted to bury it, and he came off his foot wrong.
Yeah.
I think that every player who wants to score a penalty, he usually likes to bury it. When it's really important, he just goes for his simple. But his simple went very wrong, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you saw, but Cillessen smiling at him before the penalty.
Yes, he was.
How crazy was that?
Yes, he was. It crossed him up. Didn't Luis Enrique say after the game, we bought him for more than just his good looks?
That was awesome, man. But like, I like to think, of course, as a Barcelona fan, that it had a little bit of an effect. It probably didn't, but that smile, that was so creepy, man. I saw that live, and then I saw it in the highlights again. I was like, how the hell? Why the hell is he smiling? Like, it makes no sense. And the guy misses the penalty, and Cillessen is so happy. It's crazy. That was the best moment of the game by far for me.
Yeah,
Cillessen, I laughed so hard at when that happened. not just because of the miss, but because of Cillessen's reaction before and after the penalty. That was an amazing moment.
I wasn't sure I would say I laughed. I believe I put my head in my hands and started dry heaving uncontrollably, crying a little bit. Silasen didn't even get a fingertip to this. This just ballooned over everything. This was such a bad penalty. And really, yeah. Atletico are right back where they started in seeking a new penalty taker. I'm not sure Griezmann is going to take another one this season. He's missed five of his last seven in La Liga. It's just tough to. He's already missed one in Champions League this season too against Bayern. It's tough to continue. I know he's the best player. He's Atletico's arguably most important player. Everything in attack goes through him. But it's hard to continue justifying someone who is missing as often as he is. It's tough to justify that. But you know, Gamero didn't paint himself in a good light either. So who's next? Gabby, Saul, Torres. And honestly, Cholo might give Torres a try at this point. Hope to find the solution.
I was listening to, because I'm in Brazil, so I watched the game on Facebook Live because La Liga continued to broadcast the match on Facebook Live, and the commentator
that was a great
said
idea.
That they usually like to put defenders to take penalties because they're far away from the play when the penalty happens. So they're probably not as emotional as the guys who want to score the penalty so bad. They usually are the strikers. So maybe best to put a defender or a deep midfielder into it. And I kind of agree because I think to a couple teams that use their defenders, if you look at the Premier League, for instance, Everton, they have Leighton Baines.
Right, he never misses.
If you look at West Ham, they have Mark Noble. He never misses. So I think that kind of makes sense. Maybe if they use Gabi. Barca, for instance, Barca's best penalty taker is Rakitic, but he can't take it because he plays with the MSN. But he probably is never going to miss a penalty in his life because he's really good at it. I think he took... I want to say he took three penalties for Barca and he scored all of them with ease. Like, the goalkeepers never get close to him. So he's our best taker and he's a deep-lying midfielder, and I think that might be the solution for you guys. Maybe Gabi.
Yeah, probably Gabi. And anything is worth a try. Torres has had a pretty good record since coming back. He's scored some big ones since coming back. Gabby's always had a pretty good record. At this point, maybe try Godin. Who knows? Try Godin. Try Jose Jimenez when
he's healthy. Maybe he's going to take them.
Maybe he's going to take them, just not saving them, right?
I'm sorry.
You are brutal.
I'm a forever troll all black because
you are just brutal.
He made me so mad. I actually lost a bet because of him.
Oh, you lost a bet. Yeah, we lost our best chance to win the Champions League. Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that dude...
Gamero misses that penalty, but then he scores. Griezmann squares up this beautiful ball to him, and he slots in easily into an open net.
Yeah, that was kind of crazy, right? Like, the penalty is basically an open net situation. Of course, there's a goalkeeper there, but it's kind of an open net situation, and that he missed. So, I think that, I don't know if you agree, but when he scored the goal, I wasn't too worried because that goal was kind of worthless. It was a little bit, it was almost at the end of the game.
Yeah, they needed a second one. It was, I think, the 82nd, 83rd minute. Atleti needed a second one. And, you know, they figured they got one. Maybe they can go get another. But considering how tough it was to get that first one, you had to go through a missed penalty appeal, a red card, an offside goal, an onside goal that was ruled offside. Considering all Atletico had to go through to just get the first goal,
it was crazy.
Found it kind of hard to believe that they would get a second after that. But this was a fantastic goal. Griezmann squared up so beautifully for Gamero, and he slotted home one of the easiest goals to score.
I thought Griezmann was going to shoot on goal, and then he just squares it, and Gamero's completely free. I was like, dang. That French dude is good, man.
Yeah.
Like that dude. I was actually talking about the penalty again. I was actually texting with a friend during the game, and he's not a Barca fan, but he was just watching it. And I was like, and I probably feel bad for him because I was screaming at him, like text screaming.
Yeah.
You know, please end this game or something like that, all caps. I wrote that probably 15 times to him. And when Gamedo missed the penalty, he was like, why didn't Griezmann take it? And I was like, probably because Griezmann sucks at penalties.
Yeah, which he does.
You haven't watched Atleti lately. He misses some pretty ugly penalties.
Yeah.
But he's scoring from open play. Well.
Yeah, he's scoring from open play is not a problem for him. Creating from open play is not a problem for him. And this just underscores his importance even when he's not scoring goals. He has to be visible in some way when he's not scoring goals. And this was set up the equalizer here with less than 10 minutes to go. Then Atleti really piled on, really threw everything, including the kitchen sink, at Cillessen and the Barca goal. Moya came up for a corner in stoppage time. Luis Suarez got sent off in stoppage time. How mad were you at that? Because it means he's going to miss the final.
I'm not mad at the referee, because Luis Suarez gave the referee a pretty easy decision. You don't elbow a dude in front of the referee and expect to not to be sent off. That's who he is. That's part of his personality. A lot of people don't like it, but we just got used to it. He just hits people and referees aren't looking. He's not the only one who does this. A lot of players do this. And once again, he was going to hit a guy when the referee didn't see it, but the referee turned to him and saw him elbowing the guy.
Elbowing Kalke, yeah. And that's obviously...
It was very clear.
Another bookable offense.
There was an instance in the first half, I think he kicked Savage pretty clearly, but the referee wasn't seeing the place, so that's what Suarez does. I mean, like I said, it's not the only one, and as Barca fans would probably don't like that too much, but that's just part of his personality. As long as he's scoring a million goals a season like he does, we'll kind of let that pass.
But yeah, you guys aren't going to mind too much.
Yeah, in a moment where he gets... suspended for the final, and we're going to face a team that beat us at the Camp Nou because we just couldn't score a goal, and coincidental or not, Luis Suarez didn't play that game. It's going to be pretty hard to beat Alaves with Paco Alcácer, because, I mean, I could play Paco Alcácer's place probably. Oh man, I'm sorry, but that... If you're disappointed with Gamero, try to have Paco Alcácer in your team.
You could have had Gamero, but at any rate, I had Luis on after the first leg, and he was expressing some optimism about Paco, I like Paco too.
He's an optimist by nature.
Yeah,
Luis.
Yeah, you're not.
No, I am, but Paco doesn't help me.
Yeah, he scored at the weekend.
That doesn't give me reasons to be optimistic.
He scored a nice goal against Athletic, so that maybe that helps him. Maybe.
Yeah, but basically Neymar made that goal. That goal was all by Neymar.
Fair enough. so yeah, you'll have to beat Alaves with Paco starting there in a few months' time. And finally, that wild second half ended. Game finished 1-1, 3-2 in aggregate. Barcelona through to the final. Simeone, after the game, had an interesting quote saying, we have a better chance to win Champions League anyway. We have a better chance at winning Champions League than La Liga or the Copa, which was kind of a, winking toward the referees a little bit. Simeone is like the king of low-key shade. Because he just slandered Cristiano Ronaldo for winning the Ballon d'Or, saying, you think wins don't matter? You think winning doesn't matter? Look who won the Ballon d'Or. Simeone's just become a master at this. And he did it again on Tuesday, so that gave me a bit of a laugh.
Yeah, but as a Barcelona fan, I agree too.
Right.
And that's weird coming from the fan of a team who just saw a lot of important calls go in their favor, but... If you look at Barcelona's record this season of refereeing calls, it's been kind of insane. Like, they scored a goal against Real Betis, a very clear goal.
Yeah.
And it wasn't called because there's no goal line technology. How? Why? It doesn't.
Because the league and the federation don't talk to each other?
Yeah. And like the Camp Nou has goal line technology, and they activated the cameras for the Champions League games. They had that. So I don't know, man. I agree with Cholo on this.
Yeah. Ole, 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 Cholo Simeone.
Oh, he's a hero.
Yeah, so...
I talk about this, I wouldn't want it on Barca because I just think it doesn't fit. But if my team wasn't Barcelona, I wouldn't want him to be my coach because that guy is just good at everything he does, man.
He is, man. I mean... A Copa semifinal is still a pretty successful season for Atletico.
Against Barcelona.
Yeah, against Barcelona, and Atletico came very, very close. A few decisions went the wrong way, a few chances didn't go in, and Atletico are going to be getting set for the final, potentially at the Calderon, but it's probably going to be at San Mamés now. That said, Atleti came close, and Simeone guided them to a semifinal after a pretty convincing run up through the quarterfinals. It's still a pretty successful Copa run, I'd say.
Yeah.
Still pretty successful, but it is Barcelona going to the final for the fourth year in a row. They will be favored against Alaves in, I think, May 27 is the final, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be at San Mamés because it's two northern teams. The new San Mamés hasn't hosted a Copa final yet, so that's probably where it's going to be.
There's going to be another concert at the Bernabeu because they always find some excuse for Barcelona to play there.
No, that too. That could be a thing that happens.
there's kind of a bet going on right now on Twitter on what's going to be the reason. Because like the first season, Barca went to the final under Luis Enrique. It was against, what was the team? I forget. What did we face in the first final?
The first year. It was Athletic.
It was
Athletic.
A Camp Nou because... Real Madrid found a way to book Bruce Springsteen for a concert at the Bernabeu at the same day of the final. Last season, they had to renovate their bathrooms at the Bernabeu.
So it came to the Calderon.
There cannot be a final there. So the bet this season is what's going to be the excuse. I have a lot of money on Justin Bieber concert.
Justin Bieber concert. Okay.
Yeah. He could be famous in Madrid, who knows?
Among Madrid fans who have no taste.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good bet to have. I might put some money down on that.
Yeah, but I would like some of my best. That's an amazing stadium.
Oh, it's beautiful. And, yeah, it's beautiful.
And they deserve, that stadium deserves a final. Because it's just gorgeous. I liked the old San Mamés better because it was just a historical stadium, mm-hmm. but they didn't do a bad job building this one, I'll tell you. I always like when Barca plays there. It's always very, very tough, and I hate watching those games, but just the stadium makes it worth it because it's just gorgeous.
Yeah,
so I would love to have a final stadium there.
Yep, and you'll be favored, so we'll see what happens at the end of May. There's so much season left. And we'll see how Alaves are doing, and no Sergio Roberto or Luis Suarez for that final, so it'll be interesting. It should be a great game. I'm definitely looking forward to that in a few months' time. In the meantime, you guys have Alaves this weekend.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
Isn't that interesting? Yeah, and Atletico have Celta, so a matchup of the finalists and the beaten semifinalists, which is pretty rare to see, but Celta come to the Calderon. Atleti beat them 4-0 at Balaidos earlier this season. No Diego Godin. He is out with a groin injury. He's probably going to be out a maximum of 2 weeks, which will put him in line to return in time to face Leverkusen in the Champions League.
Yeah, okay, can I ask you a question about Godin?
Yeah.
I'm not too sure he's not going to face Celta because that guy has a record of having injuries and returning 2 days later.
He does.
I remember last season that he was supposed to be out until the Champions League final, and he came back in the first leg against Bayern Munich. Is that guy like a machine that when he pulls a muscle, they just have another muscle right there?
Muscles laying around. Yeah,
because that guy doesn't get injured, and when he does, and you think it's serious that he's like torn a muscle, which probably isn't. Good. He just 3 days later, he's there. He's playing with a new muscle. Like, what's what don't what goes on with that guy?
Yeah,
I don't know.
The dude is a warrior. You're right. He doesn't ever get seriously injured. If he did get seriously injured, at Letty would be in real trouble. But no, they just have extra muscles laying around. The medical staff just takes probably extra muscles. From like Alessio Cerchi doesn't need his muscles. Just give them to Godin. You know.
That's pretty good. Oh man. I did a career mode with Atleti when FIFA 17 came out. By the way, just I couldn't sell a Cerchi. Nobody wanted him.
FIFA mirroring real life.
That's probably the worst list dude you've ever signed. Oh, he was pretty good when you signed him, but I don't know what happened.
Man, he was great at Torino, but then he got fat, and he didn't want to work as hard as Chola wanted him to work. So, you know, that was it. That was it for him.
Yeah.
But no, he's not using his muscles. You know, Thomas Partey isn't using his muscles, apparently. I mean, Oblak's injured. Augusto's injured. You have plenty of muscles to choose from.
Yeah, there's always some laying around for Godin.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic against Celta this weekend. Celta are a good team, a very good team, plays really great football. It'll be a challenge. They won at the Calderon. They didn't win. They drew 2-2 a couple of years back. Last year, lost 2-0. I'm gonna predict, gonna go with a 2-1 win for Atletico in a pretty end to end game. What are your thoughts against Alaves this weekend?
I think this will end a pretty no. It's not gonna end. It's the second to last game of this. It's third. Let's see if I get the math right. Yeah, it's 13 games in 40 days for Barca. So I don't expect the team to play good, and they got PSG on next week. So their heads already are on PSG after they beat Atleti. So they're probably just gonna play enough to win like 1-0, 2-0, and even though Alaves is a pretty good team and they wanted the cup, though I think Barca just pulled it off because the momentum is too good right now. They're not playing well, like I said, they haven't played well the last few games, probably because they're just tired. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it's gonna be 13 games in 40 days. That's just crazy. Because of the stupid two-leg the Copa del Rey. I don't know why it's two legs, but anyway, we could discuss that another day. But
yeah, we could have a whole other podcast on that.
Yeah, it's insane. But anyway, so 13 games in 40 days. PSG is the most important one. It's in Paris. It's not going to be easy. So Barca is just going to play enough to try and win. As comfortably as possible, maybe 1-0, 2-0, and just go home and get ready for Paris.
Yeah, Alaves have only lost twice at home this year. When Atletico went there a couple weeks back, they were all over them. Should have won one or two goals to nil.
So it's going to be hard.
I'm curious to see how much Luis Enrique is going to rotate, especially with the PSG tie coming up. I would actually kind of back Alaves to draw or win this game. I'm not sure how seriously Barca's going to take it. I'm not sure how seriously they can't afford to take it with PSG coming up, and it's in Paris for the first leg. I mean, Barcelona are better than PSG. I think that they will beat PSG and move on to the quarterfinals. But I want to see how they're going to line up.
Here's the thing: they will rotate, but Busquets, Iniesta have to play because they just came back from injury, so they probably need 70, 80 minutes against Alaves just to get warmed up for PSG, you know? So
yeah, and Iniesta was on the bench on Tuesday.
Their rotation means their best team, probably, which is Busquets, Iniesta, someone else in midfield, and the MSN up front. So that the rotation in this game is kind of perfect because you still put a pretty strong team out and you get your two most important midfielders ready for PSG. So that's why I think Barca are gonna win the game, because they're gonna have a pretty good team even with the rotation.
Yeah, that's fair. You excited for PSG? Excited for that tie playing that team again?
Well, I know it sounds cocky, but we always beat them. So
I mean, you're not wrong.
I don't get too excited because they get better year after year. They sign really good players. They have a really good coach now, which they never had. They somehow managed to sabotage Carlo Ancelotti because he was only there for one season, and it was the best football they played since they became rich. But they somehow got Ancelotti to leave, which makes no sense. And then they didn't have a coach, and now they do. And they're pretty good, but no matter how good they are, they lose to Barca. They can't play well against us because they try to play like us, and we're just too much better at what we do. So it's kind of weird, but I'm very scared about Julian Draxler because he's playing amazing.
He's
been a month.
Fire.
He's been there a month, and he's their best player.
It's kind of crazy. Fire.
And of course, Cavani scores a million goals, but he doesn't score a million goals in big games.
Right.
So my only concern is Verratti in midfield because he's probably one of the best midfielders in the world, and he can control game by himself, even though he's a dwarf. But Julian Draxler is probably the one I'm most concerned about, especially because he plays in Sergio Roberto's side, and Sergio Roberto is not good right now. So that's probably my only concern. But overall, this is probably going to be the toughest tie against PSG, but we're probably going to win because it's Barca versus PSG, and the outcome is...
Yeah.
It's like an Undertaker match at WrestleMania. You know who's going to win.
Yeah.
And PSG are not good enough to beat Brock Lesnar yet, so...
Good.
That's Atleti.
Good analogy.
Atleti is Barca's Brock Lesnar.
Because I'm down for that.
If you look at what happened during the... I want to talk WWE because I'm a fan and I don't care. What happened during the Undertaker-Brock Lesnar feud? Brock Lesnar won all the non-WrestleMania matches. All the other pay-per-views he won. And then when it came to WrestleMania, he beat the Undertaker. Barca beats Atletico in every other competition. And then when it comes to the Champions League, they lose. That's what happens.
Well done. So, well done, sir. I like that analysis.
I was just looking for an opportunity to fit this in because I've been working on this theory for a while. This is no one at Barca Blogger cares about WWE. I just had to find somewhere to test this theory, and apparently it worked. So thank you for the opportunity.
My pleasure. You did very well. I like that analogy a lot.
Thank you.
That was fantastic. All right. Well, that will just about do it for this edition of Colts Narrow Chat. I'd like to thank my guest, Renato Gonsalves. Thanks so much, man.
Thank you.
This was fantastic. Follow Renato on Twitter at RenatoDSG. You can follow me on Twitter at JBBaren. That's JBBERen. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. Like us on Facebook as well. And you can find all new and archived episodes of this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, Google Play, TuneIn. All new and archived episodes, subscribe, leave a review and a rating on iTunes. If I said like us on Facebook already, I'm going to say it again. Like us on Facebook. I'm not sure if I said that, but there you go. All right, and thus concludes the sign-off message, and thus concludes Colchonero Chat. We'll see you next time. Adios.